This is the Blaze Radio on demand.
Jay Severin.
You could say, you know what? It's frustrating. It's a pain in the ass, but it's probably worth, you know, I hate mentioning it, or I'm sorry, hate admitting it, but it's probably been worth it. And I think that's how I probably feel at the end of the day. But what it's changed into in our lifetimes is an America bashing forum.
Jay Severin. Weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the Blaze Radio Network.
Prepare yourself to ingest current events, pop culture, and politics with a side of Latin flair.
Vaches. I don't have to show you any stinking vaches.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
All right, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm just talking about time. We're asking each other, as we typically do before the show, hey, how was your week? And Ty was talking about how busy his week was. I was telling him how busy my week was, and that I was, ticked off. And I am. I am really ticked off. Not only do we have an occupier of the Oval Office who has divided this country, he comes right out in the wake of a tragedy where people are massacred and says we should politicize these things. And if a Republican had said something similar, it would have been grounds to make sure he never held political office again. But it's the great Barack Obama, so he gets away with it. Mainstream press goes, oh, yeah, people aren't even cold yet. And it's completely appropriate for a so-called leader to politicize death and destruction. So we will get to the shooting. I know you've been treated to wall-to-wall coverage, so we're not going to lead with that today. But we will get to it eventually here on the Chris Salcedo Show. Glad you've made it. 888-900-3393, 888-900-3393. This is your Radio Republic. Unlike your current federal government, your views are heard, listened to, and addressed right here on this program. Avail yourself of the phone number. Avail yourself of Twitter at Chris Salcedo TX. At ChrisSalcedoTX. And also on the Facebook page, The Chris Salcedo Show. Make sure you like and follow both of those so you can keep in touch with what's going on. All right, lots going on around this country this week. And look, I think it's fair to say the wheels are coming off the Obama administration. It's true. The reason why you have Barack Obama, who couldn't wait to get to a camera and a microphone when another nutcase, this time it seems a Nazi who looked at, Islamic websites and drew inspiration, looked at the Virginia Obama sycophant devotee shooter. Yeah, hey, look. This guy was reprimanded. The Virginia shooter was reprimanded for wearing an Obama button on the air. This guy was a big-time left-winger, gay, found the rainbow flag in his apartment, which led many to say, hey, why don't we get rid of that hateful rainbow flag? You know, because Dylann Roof, the racist white supremacist who gunned down those poor people in the black church in South Carolina, that spurred all manner of activity around the country, solving hate by banning a flag, which didn't solve it. So why not banning the hateful gay pride flag, which is, you know, hey, that's turned into a source of hate. Many of the militant gays hate heterosexuals, hate people of faith. So now we have this guy who on a dating site, yes, a dating site, identified as a conservative Republican, probably to get dates, to get chicks. And turns out liberals pounced on that. Oh, man, they were all, oh, conservative Republican. Well, that's how the psycho identified himself. When we look at how he was registered, he was a registered independent who hated religion, who praised death. That's not conservative Republican, for sure. Other things catching my attention this week is the, and again, Barack Obama rushing to the microphone to distract the nation from his failures. And where was he failing? Well, Brett Baer, the Fox News Channel, describes where he's failing, the humiliation that Barack Obama, well, you know what? I don't think Barack Obama suffers humiliation because it's his failures are planned. This is what he has in store for the United States of America. We as a nation are humiliated to have him as the occupier of the Oval Office. Barack Obama is a humiliation for us. He's a disgrace. I'm ashamed of Barack Obama. Barack Obama is a reason why America should hang its head in shame. Him specifically. He's a disgraceful human being. And look, I don't mind saying this. I am ashamed to have him as leader of this country. He doesn't represent this country. He bashes this country. He is everything that is wrong in the world is Barack Obama. Barack Obama is personified what is wrong with the world. Leftist, American-hating type individual. So Brett Baer of the Fox News Channel breaks down the latest humiliation that we have had to endure courtesy of Barack Obama.
Apparently the whole deconfliction thing is not taking right away. Despite assurances from President Obama's top diplomat promising dialogue about Russian forces bombing Syria, it appears Vladimir Putin is continuing to brazenly go after Syrian rebels with no concern about American repercussions.
Why would he be concerned? These are our allies, and Barack Obama bends over our allies and allows them to be slaughtered. That's what Barack Obama does. He puts his hands out to our enemies and coddles our enemies. And our friends, our allies, our boots on the ground, if you will, the Free Syrian Army. What have we trained? 9? We've trained $42 million to train 9 net individuals. And this is Obama's grand ISIS plan, right? Well, Russia has different ideas. Russia wants Bashar al-Assad to stick around, even though Barack Obama 3 years ago said, let me be clear, it's time Assad for him to go. And he still remains in power. And Russia says, you know, no, I don't think he's going to go. George Will said this week, if you're betting on Putin or Obama, better bet on Putin because Obama won't lift a finger to stand up for allies, allies he's counting on to fight ISIS and to fight Bashar al-Assad. So that's what's going on this week as Russian warplanes pounded American allies and America did nothing. Of course it did nothing. We have an occupier of the Oval Office who doesn't stand up for this nation at all.
With Fox Team coverage tonight, Kevin Cork's at the White House with the increasing sense of paralyzation and possibly humiliation that many are projecting upon President Obama.
Well, I don't think, as I'll say again, Barack Obama isn't humiliated at all. This is his vision for a weak America, an America that takes a second or third spot on the rung, who pulls out of the world. Because Obama sees the United States of America is part of the problem, you see. So when America is weak and dithering and not projecting its moral authority around the globe, Obama considers that a victory. So he's not humiliated. Barack Obama is achieving his wildest dreams, making America weak, empowering despots, empowering and enabling dictators to take the lead. And Vladimir Putin is following suit. Now, the Fox News Channel shows how reliable Barack Obama has made us as a country to our allies. Just ask the Ukrainians how reliable America is. Just ask Israel how reliable America is. Just ask Jordan. Just ask Egypt how reliable America is. Just ask Saudi Arabia how reliable America is. And now these people that we were training and arming and equipping and say, go fight for us, go fight for us, the Syrian rebels, all nine of them. And they are now getting word of what it means to be a U.S. ally in the era of Obama.
Asked whether the U.S. would protect U.S.-backed rebels from Russian attacks, the Pentagon spokesman today was repeatedly evasive.
You're talking about a hypothetical situation. Again, hypothetical situations. I think you should take our answers right now as not wanting to venture into hypothetical situations.
No, it's happening right now, you douchebag. It's happening right now. Our positions, I'm sorry, our allies' positions are being bombed by Russian warplanes. It's not a theoretical, you buffoon. It's happening right now. Now, you'd like us to think it's a hypothetical, theoretical situation. I know that. The Obama administration has set out to pull the wool over our eyes so as to not necessitate that we go, hey, shouldn't you guys be like doing some work for a living? Earning your paychecks, standing up for our allies in America. No, 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 no. So the whole MO for Obama administration has been to make sure the American people don't know what's going on. Liberals are happy to bury their heads in the sand or up some orifice of theirs. We conservatives and, you know, pro-American folks, the majority of the country, not so much. And what we're discovering and what we're finding out is how feckless and how reckless the Obama administration has been and will continue to be for the remaining year and a half in office. Other side of the break, oh, it gets worse in Syria, as if it wasn't bad enough that Russian warplanes have taken over the airspace, shut down the airspace, told America to get out. Oh, it gets worse. We'll tell you about it coming up on the other side of the break. On the Salcedo Show, your phone calls to 888-900-3393. It is The Blaze Radio.
Dial in, let it out. 888-900-3393. This is The Chris Salcedo Show. Part of Generation Blaze on The Blaze Radio Network. You're listening to the Latino conservative, Chris Salcedo, on the Blaze Radio Network.
All right, welcome back. Yeah, it has been a rather incredible week. We know now why Barack Obama couldn't wait to rush to a microphone because, look, it's collapsing in Syria. His foreign policy is falling in on itself. America's enemies and adversaries are advancing, and Barack Obama is doing his best to pull America off the world stage and lead from behind, and it's having disastrous consequences, murderous consequences. And he doesn't want you to find out about it. So why not dangle a shiny carrot in front of you like a shooting and say it's your fault? Oh, yeah, it's your fault because you didn't insist on taking away your Second Amendment rights and disarming yourself in the wake of a crazy person going rampaging. So Fox News Channel said it's getting worse over there in Syria. Not only do we have Russia in charge. You know how Russia pulled this off? Russia walks in, one of their three-star generals, into our embassy in Iraq and says, we're going to start bombing an hour. Y'all need to clear out. Just lays it on the line. And what did the United States do? Well, folded like a cheap tent under Barack Obama. It's what they do. It's what we do now. We fold like a cheap tent under Barack Obama. That's what we do. So not only do we have the Russians in charge now, apparently, in this area of the world, which is what Mr. Obama has been planning all along, it appears, the Iran, Russia, Syria, China axis of evil, if you will, the new axis of evil. We've got Iran sending troops in. Courtesy of the Fox News Channel reporting.
Further adding to the U.S.'s dilemma, new Iranian ground troops have now arrived in Syria, apparently to supplement Russian air attacks. Their arrival comes 2 months after Iranian Quds Force Commander General Qasem Soleimani violated a U.N. travel ban to Moscow and sealed a secret joint Syria military plan with Putin.
Qasem Soleimani, the head of the Quds Force. Remember this guy? this guy who is under currently under UN sanctions, and when he violated the UN sanctions, showing up on the battlefield in Iraq, showing up in Moscow, what did Obama do? Obama did nothing. He was violating his travel ban under the current sanctions because he heads an international terrorist force. Well, a force inside of Iran that exports terror internationally. And what did Obama do? Nothing. Nothing. Let me be clear. That would, if I was to act, that would undermine my great deal, my fantastic deal with paving a way for Iranian nukes. That's why he did nothing. I think it's fair for us to assume that Barack Obama will be just as diligent enforcing his agreement as he is at enforcing the current sanctions on Iran, which is not at all. Why would Obama change his behavior? He wouldn't. It's all a sham. It's all a scam. Barack Obama's deal with Iran is nothing more than a sham to ensure that the number one state sponsor of terror gets a nuclear weapon. And guess who voted with Obama? Democrats. That's right. The vast majority of the Democrat Party, the party of the lazy, betrayed this country and betrayed our allies just like their occupier of the Oval Office did.
The Russian buildup of forces in Syria began just days after Soleimani's visit. The Iranian Quds Force now operates not just in Syria, but in Iraq, Yemen, and Lebanon. Critics say in the absence of U.S. leadership, Iran and Russia are conspiring to become the dominant players across the volatile Middle East.
Anybody with a brain can see that. Conspiring. Look, there is an alliance between now Russia and China. There's an alliance now between Russia and Iran and Syria. To what end? To what end? Let me give you, I haven't heard many people talking about this, but me. You know, and maybe you have heard, that the Russians and the Chinese are desirous of replacing the world's reserve currency from the U.S. dollar to something else, anything else. It doesn't matter what it is. They just need to remove the dollar as the world's reserve currency. And the reason why they're doing this is because it would be immediately catastrophic for the United States of America. Our economy would be trashed, even more than it has been under Barack Obama. 10 times worse, 100 times worse. We would no longer be able to finance our debt. The American economy would collapse. It would be the worst days of the Great Depression, instantaneously, right here on this country, if that were to happen. Now, why would Syria and Iran and China and Russia start exerting its influence over Iraq and other states in the region? Iraq, the largest reserve of oil, second largest reserve of oil, proven reserves in the world. I wonder what they're up to. Now, either Barack Obama is cool with this or he doesn't have the imagination to figure it out. Somebody who has been paying attention to what's been going on, this guy.
Here's what you're going to see in the next few weeks. The Russians will begin to fly combat missions in that region, not just targeting ISIS, but in order to prop up Assad.
That was a prediction made 2 weeks ago. Three weeks ago now. Marco Rubio, in a debate out in California, predicting precisely what we saw unfold this week. Now, if Marco Rubio knew, and other people in our government, I'm assuming, knew, why didn't Barack Obama act on this? Why didn't he act? Number one, he had his head buried up his closest orifice. Number two, he knew it was going to happen, and just like with ISIS, allowed it. Why would he do that? Why? Because it harms the United States of America and our allies. That's why. I have abandoned the notion that Mr. Obama is working in our best interest. If only the current Republican Party would get its head out of its closest orifice, then maybe it might start realizing the same. You want to weigh in on what you've heard so far, and we're going to pay attention to the Republican Party here in mere moments. Telephone number, 888-933-93. That's 888-900-3393. Put you in touch with the Chris Salcedo Show right here on The Blaze.
You're listening to The Chris Salcedo Show.
Part of Generation Blaze on The Blaze Radio Network. Salcedo Show. Conservative talk radio with spice.
Attacking me is not an agenda. Attacking me is not talking about how we're going to deal with the challenges that exist in the Middle East and take advantage of the opportunity there and stem the tide of this violence. But I'll respond to a couple of things you mentioned. First of all, Russia, I indicated, is a geopolitical foe. Not
number
a,
one. No,
excuse me. It's a geopolitical foe. And I said in the same paragraph, I said, and Iran is the greatest national security threat we face. Russia does continue to battle us in the UN time and time again. I have clear eyes on this. I'm not going to wear rose-colored glasses when it comes to Russia or Mr. Putin. And I'm certainly not going to say to him, I'll give you more flexibility after the election. After the election, he'll get more backbone.
Yeah, Barack Obama promised Dmitry Medvedev and tell Putin we'll have more flexibility after the election. What Barack Obama wanted more flexibility was to kiss Putin's ass by removing defensive weapons out of the Baltic states, out of Poland and the Czech Republic. And he did so. And what did Putin do in return? He invaded Ukraine, one of our allies, took land from them. And Barack Obama did nothing. And then here comes Barack Obama saying, let me be clear. Bashar al-Assad has to go. And he's still there. And here comes Russia saying, no, I don't think Bashar al-Assad's going to go. I think he's going to stay. And I'm going to come in here and fight ISIS, a creation of Barack Obama, because Barack Obama won't fight ISIS. And I'm going to take them out. And my boy, Bashar al-Assad, is going to stay. And Barack Obama says, let me be clear. You go right ahead. I'm ashamed of Barack Obama. Instead of a leader, we get a guy who comes up with bumper stickers.
Governor Romney, I'm glad that you recognize that al-Qaeda is a threat. Because a few months ago, when you were asked what's the biggest geopolitical threat facing America, you said Russia. Not al-Qaeda. You said Russia. In the 1980s, are now calling to ask for their foreign policy back. Because, you know, the Cold War has been over for 20 years.
Who was right? Yeah, Romney was right. You know, Senator Tom Cotton this week commented on that 2012 exchange in the presidential campaign between Romney and Obama. Here's what Senator Cotton had to say.
3 years ago, President Obama's opponent suggested that Russia might be our chief geopolitical threat. President Obama's response was to chuckle and say the 1980s called and wanted their foreign policy back. Unfortunately, the 1930s are calling President Obama and they want their foreign policy back.
Yeah, isolationism, retreat from the world. That's Obama, because according to Obama, America's the problem, you know, and when somebody wants to stand up for our allies and make sure that we maintain our commitments, Barack Obama just starts cracking jokes.
Because a few months ago, when you were asked what's the biggest geopolitical threat facing America, you said Russia, not al-Qaeda. You said Russia. In the 1980s are now calling to ask for their foreign policy back.
Shut up!
888-900-3393. We go to Indiana. Charles, hang on the line. Charles, thank you very much for being here on the Salcedo Show. What say you, sir?
I want to thank you very much for having a very very good show on a Saturday that I have to work. I really appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate you getting out there and working, buddy.
Hey, I tell you what, I'm a truck driver, and like they say, without trucks, America stops. And Lord only knows that my industry is regulated to the hilt. It's just ridiculous. But in a nutshell, what it comes down to is this: we have a president that's a traitor, okay? And it's not just him. Our whole federal government is infiltrated with i.e. progressives, all of the demon rats, and a few of the Republicans I would throw into this category. And what needs to happen is the whole federal government needs to get cleaned out. It's ridiculous. And I tell you what, there needs to be some accountability, because what this president has done is over the top, against the Constitution, against the law. You know, it's pretty sad when Vladimir Putin sounds more like our president should sound like than our own president.
Well, you know, let me stop you there, Charles. I think somebody else who might be a better role model for the American, for the occupier of the Oval Office, for the current occupier of the Oval Office, would be Bibi Netanyahu, because at least he is a democratic leader and believes in democratic principles.
I agree with
Vladimir,
you.
Vladimir Putin, he's a thug. I mean, Vladimir Putin, here's a guy who is a communist, wants to impose his will, rebuild the Soviet Union. I mean, the guy's a thug. So, I mean, but I understand. I understand what you're saying, because
Can I also say one thing with regards to, can I make another point with regards to what's going on this week? The unemployment, the falsified unemployment figures came out, and our growth is ridiculous. You know, the Fed is not going to raise rates. Okay,
true.
That's what everybody was banking on. It's not going to happen. They can't raise the rates
because the economy's not. So, well, let me tell the folks what you're talking about, Charles, just so folks understand what this is. We had some numbers come out this week. It was a sham of a report. As far as jobs were concerned, the jobs are drying up. You've got a record number of women out of the labor force, record number of people not participating in the job force. Let's see, I think it was 94,610,000 people out of the workforce. Never been that high in the United States. So the Fed saying, well, we're not going to be raising rates. Why? Because everybody knows now what the truth of the economy is. It's not strong. It's not growing. It's anemic. And it's courtesy of Barack Obama's left-wing policies.
And what's going to happen is it's going to, you know, everybody's saying, well, what's going to happen? Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. It's called QE4. Okay. It's called get the printing presses up. Well, actually, they're actually very smart about it. They don't print the money. They just put it in digital form. But the thing about it is, what people don't understand is currency money has velocity. And when it's in digital form, It doesn't have any velocity. It stays still, so it doesn't have that much of an effect.
Now, Charles, let me bring this all full circle to what we've been talking about. What happens when you get QE1, QE2, QE3, QE4, and then all of a sudden our adversaries and our enemies, with the blessing of Barack Obama, decides that they want to make a play and remove the United States dollar as the world's reserve currency? What happens to all of that printed money or that imaginary money? What happens to it?
Well, see, exactly when that money, the harm isn't by creating the digitized money. That's not the harm. What happens is when that money is released into the economy. Well, that's when it's really, and it's all about bringing down the dollar. And that's
right, exactly. What happens is those dollars, Charles, become worthless, and then our debt that we're racking up, close to $19 trillion at this point, we can't finance the debt anymore, because when the dollar is not the world's reserve currency, you just can't print more money. You can't do that, because when you're no longer the reserve currency.
And the sad thing about it, this is what really drives me crazy. The sad thing about it is the average American, you know, there's a growing percentage of people out here that see the train wreck ahead. Mm-hmm. But the most people out there don't give a rat's rear end, okay?
Too bad.
As long as they got their latte from Starbucks, oh, everything is fine. But one day they're going to wake up and they're going to realize, oh, crap, what happened to my country?
Yeah, when you can't get the latte anymore, when every business is out of business, and you got people wheeling around wheelbarrows full of cash just to go buy a loaf of bread. Yeah, we've seen this scenario play out before. Thank you for the call, Charles. I appreciate it, folks.
Thank you.
Yeah, understand what happens, folks? We lose reserve currency status. We can no longer finance this monstrous debt. And Barack Obama appears not to either understand or appears to be ushering in that judgment day. What was Team Obama's response this week to the blatant aggression from the Russians, taking over the airspace, telling us what to do, pushing us around? Well, it was, as you would expect, a completely shameful and metrosexual response on the part of the Obama White House. And it went something like this. Man, I never thought I'd say this, but I miss the days of Jay Carney.
White House officials, meanwhile, say Russia's aggression is a sign of weakness, not strength, and offered this warning today for the Kremlin.
Russia will not succeed in imposing a military solution on Syria any more than the United States was successful in imposing a military solution on Iraq a decade.
Wait a minute. We weren't successful? No, I thought we were successful. It's not me saying we're successful. It's not conservatives or Republicans out there. It was Vice President Joe Biden.
And I am very optimistic about Iraq. I think it's going to be one of the great achievements of this administration. You're going to see 90,000 American troops come marching home by the end of the summer. You're going to see a stable government in Iraq that is actually moving toward a representative government. I've been there 17 times now. I go about every 2 months, 3 months. I know every one of the major players in all the segments of that society. It's impressed me. I've been impressed how they have been deciding to use the political process rather than guns to settle their differences.
A success story, not according to me, not according to conservatives, not according to the Republicans, not according to Vice President Gaffe Machine Joe Biden, but according to President Obama himself.
The bleeding and the building and the training and the partnering, all of it has led to this moment of success.
Success. So when you have Josh Earnest, the chief propagandist for the Obama White House, saying, well, you can't succeed in imposing a military solution in Iraq. Oh, yeah, we succeeded. All right. According to your occupier of the Oval Office and the vice president of the United States. It was a success. George Bush had succeeded in turning Iraq around. Now, where did that all go? That's right. Barack Obama and Joe Biden, Josh Earnest, they're the ones who destroyed Iraq and all the progress that was made. Jonah Goldberg had a response to all this I want to play before we go to break. Well, you know what? I'll play it on the other side of the break. It's the Chris Salcedo Show here, folks. Jonah Goldberg, I think, encapsulated what we're seeing here with the Obama foreign policy, such as it is. And we'll get to it the other side of the break on the Salcedo Show. Don't go anywhere.
You are listening to the Chris Salcedo Show, part of Generation Blaze on the Blaze Radio Network. Chris Salcedo.
Just got a note on Facebook, The Chris Salcedo Show. It's easy to find. Just type in the search bar, The Chris Salcedo Show. It's there. On Twitter, by the way, too, at Chris Salcedo TX, at ChrisSalcedoTX. Susan from Northeast Pennsylvania saying it's great to hear a familiar voice on the radio today. Kind of rainy, kind of dreary in Northeast Pennsylvania today. So I am glad I could bring some rays of sunshine into your life. And I got to tell you, Susan, you just did mine. Nicest thing I had heard all day long. By the way, I also got another note on Twitter this week. Somebody saying, I'm tired of waiting for Saturday. Going to tune into WBAP. That is where one of my weekly shows, I'm sorry, daily shows, airs Monday through Friday on WBAP in Dallas-Fort Worth. The other show is in Houston on AM 700 KSEV. So if you get tired during the week of waiting for the Salcedo Show experience, always dip in via the World Wide Web, either on one of the station apps, again, WBAP or KSEV in Houston and Dallas-Fort Worth. Got lots coming up on those stations as well. So Salcedo Show is available on those outlets. Also, I'm going to be doing some fill-in work for Pat and Stu in the coming weeks, so keep an eye out for that. Okay, Jonah Goldberg on the Fox News Channel weighing in on really what we're seeing. He and Bret Baier going back and forth over this thing. And of course, having the Russians flying sorties in the area where American warplanes are already in operation. I mean, what could go wrong, right?
And the question was, let's say the U.S.-backed Syrian rebels come under attack by the Russians. Does the U.S. support the people that we've trained and equipped to be, even though there are not many of them, on the ground in Syria?
Yeah, well, I keep thinking of that scene from Hunt from Red October where Fred Thompson says, this is going to get out of hand and people will die. And that's sort of what everyone is afraid of, and that's why everyone keeps talking about deconfliction. The problem with this neologism that we're all hearing for the first time, or at least...
By the way, neologism is the creation of a new term to describe something. Deconfliction is the word.
Most of us, is that they're talking about it as if that is the diplomatic priority here, is deconfliction, when in reality what is happening is the Russians are bombing our de facto and sometimes in reality allies on the ground as part of their larger strategy, deflect from Ukraine, reassert influence in the Middle East. And to me, this has been a perfect seminar in what you get in reality when you go into the White House with the ideology that the president had. He honestly and sincerely thought from day one that if America withdrew from the world, this wonderful tooth fairy-like organization called the international community would fix all of our problems and they would step in and everything would be great. No, it turns out that when you create a vacuum, worse actors like Russia and China and Iran, they all seek to take advantage of the vacuum, exploit it, and become hegemons regionally or globally. And that is exactly what we're seeing. And it's going to take us decades to put this thing back together.
Yeah, decades to put it back together, if that's even possible. I don't know that this is going to ever be able to be put back together. America will be paying the price for Barack Obama for decades to come. Back in a minute.
888-900-3393.
The Chris Salcedo Show.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
Prepare yourself to ingest current events, pop culture, and politics with a side of Latin flair.
Badges. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
Hey, hi there, ho there. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Salcedo Show here on the Blaze Radio Network. Telephone number you want to reach out and say hi is 888-900-3393. That's 888-900-3393. That goes for all you folks who only have your cell phones to listen to the Blaze because you're underwater. Your power's out because of Hurricane Joaquin. No direct hit, but enough epic rainfall to, I guess, drown the Carolinas. You know, forgive me for not being too sympathetic. I mean, let's be frank. I'm in a state right now, in the state of Texas, that endured enough water falling in a month period to cover the entire state of Texas in 8 inches of water. Let's just say I feel your pain. I feel your pain out there in the Carolinas and on the East Coast. The rest of you in dreary day or maybe enjoying the first crisp days of autumn. Welcome to October. I can't believe it's October, number one. Number two, it just fall is my favorite time of year. Football's back. Looking forward to the holidays. All right. Want to bring on our first guest of the program today. His name is David Barton. He's the founder and president of Wall Builders. It's a national pro-family organization that presents America's forgotten history and heroes with an emphasis on our moral, religious, and constitutional heritage. Wall Builders seeks to energize the grassroots of today to become involved in strengthening our communities, states, and our nation in general. David is the author of numerous best-selling books, with the subjects being drawn largely from his massive library of tens of thousands of original writings from the founding era of the United States of America. Mr. Barton, welcome to the Chris Salcedo Show.
Hey, Chris, good to be with you. Thanks for having me, bro.
Do want to talk about the country and our founding and such, but I can't let the news of the day go without at least letting you address it with the shootings. Here we have another mass shooting that the current occupant of the Oval Office has unabashedly said should be politicized. I profoundly disagree. What is your take on what we're seeing with, which is not a trend, statistically it's not a trend, but we're seeing it more highly hyped and publicized?
Yeah, I mean, you've hit it right on. It's not that much of a trend. The real problem is the same problem it's always been. It's not what's in your hand that's a problem. It's what's in your heart that's a problem. And for about 40 years, we have specifically said we cannot address what's in the heart. This is where you go back to George Washington, et cetera. He points out in the very final public address that he gave that if you want American politics to prosper, you have to promote religion and morality. He actually said you can't call yourself a patriot if you try to take religion and morality out of public life. And it was for things like this. It's not religious and moral people that are going and shooting things up. It's those that don't have control of their heart. So it doesn't matter whether – I mean, who needs a gun control law? Go back to Cain and Abel. What we need is rock control laws, you know. Cain picked up a rock and clubbed his brother Abel. If we could get Congress to pass a rock – or, you know, better yet, if you saw the stats from the FBI this year, there are many more people killed by hammers and baseball bats than by rifles. So let's get baseball bat control. We need safety cases for baseball bat. We need a background check for every baseball bat. I mean, where do you stop this thing? You got to go back to the root cause, and that is if people can't control themselves, you'll never control them from the outside.
You know, Marco Rubio addressed this in the last debate. Let me play the soundbite for you, David, and I'll get you to react.
First of all, the only people that follow the law are law-abiding people. Criminals, by definition, ignore the law. So you can pass all the gun laws in the world like the left wants. The criminals are going to ignore it because they are criminals. Here's the real issue. The real issue is not what are people using to commit violence, but why are they committing the violence? And here's the truth. Because you cannot separate the social, moral well-being of your people from their economic and other well-being. You cannot separate it. You can't have a strong country without strong people. You cannot have strong people without strong values. And you cannot have strong values without strong families. And the institutions in this country that defend and support those families.
Thank you, Senator.
Well, and today we have a left-wing government under this president that is undermining all of the institutions in society that support the family and teach those values.
Senator Cruz, I wanted to go to you.
I couldn't agree more on what do you think, David?
Yeah, he's exactly right. And by the way, if this president is going to be consistent with who he says he is, he needs to immediately call for hate crime laws to protect Christians from being shot in schools in Oregon. But that's not going to happen because it's not about that equality of protection for folks. It's about politicization. And so, you know, even look at the Democrat candidates. When this went through back in 2009, Louie Gohmert sat there on the committee judiciary when they were doing hate crime laws, said, don't we want to protect everybody? No, we got certain groups. And so as they went through and said, well, let's get hate crime for lesbians and homosexuals, he put an amendment out that said, look, let's also include veterans and seniors. And they said, no, those aren't groups that we want to protect. And when you come to a point in America where you're picking and choosing who you will and won't protect, and you don't want laws apply equally to all, you've really got some moral problems in leadership. And I would argue that that's where we are. People, I've been in the black community very often, and they say, yeah, he's a really moral guy. Now, if you're a moral guy, you follow moral precepts, moral principles, and you promote them. You and your life might be good. You and your family, your kids, it's great. But you're doing the very things that undermine the morality and the values, as Marco said, that the value that we have to have, the virtue that makes America strong. So I don't expect any of that to be coming from this White House or any of the Democratic nominees, but it should be. That's the only solution for this, and we've known that for hundreds of years.
David Barton, my guest right now, he's the founder of and president of Wall Builders here on the Chris Salcedo Show. This is the reason why we had originally scheduled to be on the program. Utterances from the self-avowed socialist Bernie Sanders, and here's what he had to say on the campaign trail.
I would hope and I believe that every person in this room today understands that it is unacceptable to judge people, to discriminate against people based on the color of their skin.
Yes.
And I would also say that as a nation, the truth is that a nation which in many ways was created, and I'm sorry to have to say this, from way back on racist principles, that's a fact.
He says it is a fact, and Mr. Barton, I suspect that you, being a student of this country's history, unlike Bernie Sanders, the self-avowed socialist, you have a different perspective.
Well, I don't have a different perspective. Historical facts have a different perspective. My opinion really doesn't matter on this. But Bernie forgot to point out that up in that country where he lives, in that New England part of America, there never was a time when blacks could not vote in elections. We have a number of black founding fathers. He did not mention, for example, Wentworth Chesil, the first black elected to office in America, 1768 in New Hampshire, which is right beside his state. He forgot to mention that. He also forgot to mention Thomas Hercules, elected in Pennsylvania. And I can go through all these other black patriots that were elected to office back. So where's this racism that we were founded on? And by the way, while we're at it, how does he explain the fact that in Baltimore, Maryland, when they voted to ratify the U.S. Constitution, more blacks than whites voted to ratify the Constitution? I mean, the story's the same. Now, if you want to talk about southern states, and as Thomas Jefferson pointed out, there were three states at the time of the Declaration of Independence that would not allow them to put an overt condemnation of slavery in the Declaration, so they had to do it subtly in two clauses. But there were three states that wanted slavery at all costs. If you want to say that's racist in America, that's great. But they were the last states founded. They weren't the first states founded. And so to look at those states and say this is America is nonsense. You're supposed to, in history, teach the good, the bad, the ugly. He's so fixated on the bad and the ugly, he doesn't even see the good and see all the things that did happen. And that's a historical fact, Bernie. Yeah, it was founded on racism in some colonies and some areas, but that was not the nation. And if you're going to do a southern view of American history as opposed to an American view, that's what you're going to come up with. But, you know, that's progressives always have to find a way to tear down America, make us feel sad for it, because then we can limit ourselves and then we can go around the world apologizing for all the evil that we've caused. And that, it, I mean, it literally has been that way since Woodrow Wilson did his history, the history of the American people back in 1902. And that's where so much of this nonsense comes from. But, of course, you know, Bernie is a progressive Democrat, so he's going to love Woodrow and probably read his history books. And that's where this kind of nonsense comes from.
Well, you know, I had focused on the founding document, the Declaration of Independence, and the precept that all men are created equal, and the recognition that our nation hasn't always lived up to that precept, but it is a founding principle, and that is the foundation of our, as the Declaration informed our laws and the Constitution of the United States, and that's where I point to.
Yeah, and that is one that has to be pointed to. And by the way, it is ironic that right now the Democrat Party is running from Thomas Jefferson as fast as they can. They're trying to get rid of the Jefferson dinners because they say Jefferson was a racist. You know, it is so amazing to me how many black civil rights leaders for years cited Jefferson as the basis of their efforts. In fact, when we abolished slavery on February the 12th, 1865, in the U.S. Congress, the black leader, the first black to ever speak in Congress, two-hour speech, Henry Holland Garnett, he praised Jefferson, talked about how Jefferson would be rejoicing that slavery is finally ended because that had been his life's goal. In Jefferson's own writings, he talks about how that in his own state, his laws would not allow him to free his own slaves. And so you find 50 years of Jefferson being probably the national voice on civil rights, on equality, on ending slavery. And we used to know that history. Now Democrats are running from it because they don't know their own history. And by the way, as a conservative, I'll be happy to take Thomas Jefferson because he was not a racist. He wanted equality, civil rights. He worked for that in Virginia. He actually introduced the first federal law, the first national law. It wasn't the federal government yet. It was 1784, but the first national law to end slavery. It failed by one vote. And in his writings, he said, oh, that God would have changed one heart. One heart would have been changed. We could end slavery. 1784, mm-hmm. Jefferson's the guy who introduces that bill. And by the way, Jefferson's also limited government. He's anti-taxation. He is also pro-traditional values. His position on homosexual marriage even back then was clear. His position on abortion was clear. No wonder the Democrats don't want him. He's wrong on all the issues for them.
Well, look, David, I don't know if your folks told you how your name came across my desk. It was one of my listeners who said, you've got to get David Barton on. He's fantastic. And I wholeheartedly agree. I really enjoyed our visit. Look, the red carpet open for you and all the Chris Salcedo shows whenever you want to come back on and tell us what you're up to. David Barton, everybody, the founder and president of Wall Builders. Where can folks go if they want to find out more information about what you guys do?
Wallbuilders.com is the easy place.
All right. God bless you, sir. I appreciate your time and your expertise here on the Salcedo Show. All right. More to come, everybody, on the other side of the break. Right here on the Chris Salcedo Show on The Blaze. Stick with me.
Telling the truth. It's It's one of those jobs American liberals won't do. That's why we need the liberty-loving Latino, Chris Salcedo.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Chris Salcedo is on
the Blaze Radio Network.
All right, coming up, Ty and I will get into a discussion about what we just heard with our conversation with David Barton. But everything's in a lot of whack this week, folks, because, well, for one, you all may have noticed that Chad Kent's taken a couple of weeks off. So there is no Constitution Revolution these last couple of weeks. And there is some movement on that. As soon as Chad and I are ready to let you know what's going on, there are going to be some changes coming with the Constitution Revolution, so stay tuned on that. But Mary Ramirez this week decides she wants to go up and go to a wedding somewhere. So she has to come visit early, not in her normal slot. She's actually here an hour, well, actually, an hour early. An hour early, having a conversation with us about her contributions to TheBlaze.com and the Chris Salcedo Show. Mary Ramirez, welcome back.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
How you feeling? You all right?
Lots of DayQuil, Chris.
Lots of DayQuil. You sound fine. She was all worried. She's
good.
Got a cold. And you sound fine. You sound energetic, kind of peppy. Are you drunk or what?
No. DayQuil.
DayQuil. There you go. Hey, so yeah. What are we writing up this week?
Yeah, so Chris, you know, we all know what the president said about the nuclear deal with Iran, and that is, quote, that we negotiated from a position of strength and principle, and that because of that, we've, quote, stopped the spread of nuclear weapons in this region. Now, you know that's BS. I know that's BS. I mean, we're talking about neutralizing a threat by handing a terrorist state carte blanche to develop nuclear weapons, but nevertheless, that's been the narrative. So here's where it gets interesting. I came across this past week. The Department of Health and Human Services is adding roughly $450 million, give or take a few million, worth of thermal burn treatments to the strategic national stockpile over the next few years. Now, in their own words, these four kinds of high-tech treatments are to deal with, quote, burn injuries resulting from radiological and nuclear threats. And they continue, with 127 burn centers nationwide, a mass casualty incident of this scale, presumably nuclear warfare, could easily overwhelm the nation's burn care infrastructure. And those are their words, not mine. The thing is, you know, this president, despite what he says, he knows darn well that the threat is real. This administration knows darn well that the threat is real. And our government knows darn well that the threat is real. But that reality doesn't jive with President Obama's legacy ambitions. You know, I've got to get a nuclear deal with Iran, and his let's demote the United States worldview. And this is our reality. Iran is spending billions, as Benjamin Netanyahu said this past week to the UN, on weaponry and satellites, and while continuing to call for the destruction of Israel and the United States. And what do? We snub Israel. We pull the Secretary of State and the ambassador to the UN from Netanyahu's address to the UN General Assembly, while simultaneously stockpiling post-nuclear medical response materials. And that just, I mean, I realize this shouldn't be a shock to us that they say one thing and do another, but it's amazing to me. And I just felt like the American people needed to understand that this is what's going on, that the threat is real. Our government believes it's real, and yet they run around continuing to say that it's not. It's incredible, Chris.
Now, who did you find was stockpiling radiation burn equipment?
So this is the Department of Health and Human Services. This is actually, it's linked in my piece. It's a press release that came out this last week. That discussed various contractors that they're going to bring in to facilitate these materials. It's four different types of treatment. Ironically, one of them from Israel, treatment mechanisms to deal with thermal burns that result from nuclear warfare. And, you know, it comes out, it's in the public, and yet we're hearing nothing about it. No one in the media is going, wait a minute, I'm sorry, what? Why? Now, I know we have a strategic national stockpile. I get that. I realize that we have provisions for any situation, but this is $450 million worth of additional materials specifically used to treat post-nuclear warfare, post-nuclear injuries.
Yeah, and don't forget, you know, we're also a little more hostile these days, or they're hostile toward us with the Russians, who do have a tremendous amount of nuclear weapons. So this could also be a precautionary tale by the federal government to say, hey, look, Barack Obama is bending America over for Vladimir Putin. If he decides to get really cocky, we better be ready for it.
Right. Well, in fact, I actually talked about that in my piece too, Chris, that we endured a Cold War where we had the Russians pointing their nuclear weapons at us and we pointed ours at them. And I remember visiting the Titan II missile silo in Arizona a couple of years back. And it, literally, the world could have ended with the turn of a key, a phone call and the turn of a key. So absolutely, yes, there's many threats above and beyond simply or just Iran. But, you know, here we are giving the largest state sponsor of terror basically the keys to facilitate a nuclear program on top of every other threat we have in the world. And it's incredible to me that we run around acting like it's not a big deal, not we, but the government.
No. Obama. Obama.
His administration, exactly.
You know, yeah, and you know what I got to say, and we have to start beating this notion back that Obama is in any way America. Let me say definitively, folks, Obama is not America. As a matter of fact, Obama is anti-America, and I'm not meaning to say he is. His policies are anti-American, but if you look at Barack Obama and you put up the idealism of the United States of America, they are diametrically opposed. Mr. Obama in no way represents the idealism of the United States of America. He is the anti-America occupier of the Oval Office. Mary, tell me the name of the article.
Absolutely. It is entitled, Nope, a Nuclear Iran's Not a Threat, but We're Stockpiling Thermal Burn Provisions Anyway. And that is the contributor section of TheBlaze.com.
First off, take care of yourself. I know it's hard. Hard taking care of a brand new baby when you're under the weather. give my best to the bride and groom, if you will, at the wedding that you're attending.
Sure will.
And we'll talk to you next week, okay?
Sounds like a plan, Chris. Thanks.
All right, lady. Talk to you again. All right, you want to weigh in on anything you've heard so far in the program, 888-933-93, 888-900-3393. Coming up next, Ty and I will have a conversation about this whole idea that we discussed with one of our guests already today, talking about this idea that America was founded on racist principles. Plus, the best and the brightest the GOP has to offer, Kevin McCarthy. We're told he's going to be the next Speaker of the House, being shoved down our throats. And he's stepping in it already, even before he takes over the speakership.
You're listening to The Chris Salcedo Show.
Part of Generation Blaze. On the Blaze Radio Network.
Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
I'm happy you made it back, everybody, to the Salcedo Show. I am your liberty-loving Latino. Don't confuse me with those loudmouth leftist Latinos out there. I actually love the country. Telephone number you want to reach out and say hi is 888-900-3393, 888-900-3393. Okay, let me have a tie. What was your reaction to Dave Barton?
Okay, everything he said about the here and the now, I loved. Thought he was a genius and backed everything up. I thought when he talked about the past, I thought he covered it with rose-colored glasses. And he glossed over some of the negative things that have happened in America, and I'm uncomfortable with that.
I don't think he did. This is what I heard him say. Look, there was racism in the colonies. There's no doubt about it. But there are plenty of examples in the colonies where racism was looked down upon, and he cited a few of those. He cited Jefferson, where Jefferson had worked to abolish slavery. Well, one vote shy in Virginia, as he pointed out, and it is true where he had slaves, but the conditions on Jefferson's plantation, as it were, if I remember my readings correctly, the slaves basically ran the joint and had the run of the joint. It wasn't like they were whipped or disciplined or anything like that.
They weren't paid.
No.
They couldn't leave.
They couldn't leave because they had no status in the society at that point.
So it's like, you know, so he was a good, bad person.
Well, maybe he was a good person living in the system as it existed that didn't live up to the foundational principles of the country, which were all men are created equal. Those are the principles.
I completely agree with you about the principles. This country was not founded on
racist
principles. I completely agree with that. But
this country fell down on living up to the principles we were actually founded on, right?
Absolutely. And what makes me uncomfortable, both sides actually make me uncomfortable as a black conservative, in that liberals want to be, I don't know, I guess they just want an apology. I don't know what they want, but they complain about it all the time. But conservatives...
Reparations? Actually, they don't want to solve anything. So
yeah, it's just going on and on and on. But I feel like conservatives, in their defense of the nation, gloss over it and gloss over the impact that it has and the reason people think the way that they do now. And I think they gloss over it and they don't realize it. And that lack of acknowledgement has led to losing elections.
See, and I think that the nation, by and large, has acknowledged it, has fought a civil war over it, partially. It was because of slavery. Has gone through a lot of political strife, 1960s, to get where we are. And many people rightly ask, what the hell else do we have to do? I mean, this country has reckoned with this stain. And you can't call it anything else but that. Black eye stain, blot on its record of slavery. But then people rightly ask, okay, we've done the work. We've paid the price. Still our costliest war as far as blood and lost lives, the Civil War. What else has to happen?
For me, two things. One, go to the places where you don't currently get votes, inner cities, where you get so few votes, and actually do the same speech you would do anywhere else. Actually tell them we actually want your vote rather than ignore them.
Well, no, I agree with that, too. That's a problem in the Latino community, too, with some in the GOP.
And the other thing is, when something happens negative to a minority, whatever it may be, cops, whatever it may be, don't break your neck trying to look for the other side. Sometimes I think silence is golden.
See, I'm just not there. I'm a guy that says confront it head on. Talk about it. Get all the facts out. Confront it head on. And that's...
And I'm all for confronting it head on, but then that would require the GOP or conservatives to acknowledge the racism that still happens, and they refuse to do that.
Well, because, see, again, and that we know what the liberals will do with that.
Right,
Obama politicizing this shooting, right? You get Obama out there, the liberals will always be treacherous with it and then make it appear as if it's a societal problem and it's institutionalized and it's everywhere, it's rampant. And conservatives are saying, look, this is an isolated case. And a lot of conservatives, at least the ones I know, and I've said it myself, you're a fool to believe you're going to be able to get rid of racism. You're an idiot if you believe that. Because there's always going to be, you can't fix stupid, right? How many times have we said that on this program? You can't fix stupid. There's always going to be stupid people out there who are racists. But to sit there and say, oh, it's a societal problem. Oh, it's an institutional problem. There's no way in hell that I would counsel a Republican or a conservative to get out there and say, oh, you know, this is a problem. No, you know what? This is the problem this individual had, sure. But it's like Dylann Roof, for example. You and I were talking about Dylann Roof when this South Carolina shooting went down. And what did the liberals do? We saw them. Well, this is rampant racism. It's all over, right? And you and I both rightly said, no, it's not all over. This is one nutcase. And I think that's what I meant by head on and describing it for what it is. But you know what liberals are going to try to do, and they've done it very successfully, man, is that they've taken the issue of race and they use it to silence their opposition.
Right, but conservatives let it happen because many times they're just bystanders. They're not involved in making things better. They're just bystanders. They take the tact of, and this is my honest opinion, and this is something that bothers me about the Republican Party in general. Everything's good now. They know that it's not perfect, but they say it's as good as it's going to be. So let's just leave this alone. And they allow someone else to own the issue. Well, if you acknowledge the issue and say, hey, this is how we're going to handle it. This is why smaller government. This is why, you know, you have a better work, better education, et cetera, et cetera, will help you in your life. I believe people would latch on to that. But when you just punt on the issue and just say, hey, the work's done, let's move on. That's why they own it.
You've said there's an issue. What is the issue?
What is the issue? To me, in my opinion, there are still certain things that happen. Institutional is the wrong word, but let's give it an example. Let's look at, if we're going to look at the issue, right? Everything law, like in the law, happened in the 60s. That's one generation. You're talking about one generation. Yes, 50 years, one generation. For example, when my parents were born, they couldn't use the same water fountain where my mom was born. My dad was born up north. But the water fountain and all that stuff, that still happened when she was a kid. So I'm the first generation in which that stuff didn't happen. If you don't think that I was taught things, and if you think that that stuff doesn't linger through just one generation, I think that's naive. This is one generation.
But that's a perception that you guys have of the past. It doesn't necessarily reflect the present, does it?
It does in certain ways that probably, I'll give you an example.
Tell me what the issue is, because I know that you don't want to say that racism is rampant in America, because I know you don't believe that. So when you say Republicans punt on confronting the issue, what is the issue?
I believe the issue is that there are certain, everybody's different. I know that we like to say everybody's the same, but like if I see you, I see a Latino man. If you see me, you'll see I'm a black man. There's no avoiding that. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
I believe that when people see those differences, there are certain perceptions out there in the world and way that people feel, even from quote unquote non-racist, that still exists. Yes. And I think that still happens. And I think that the lack of acknowledgement that those things happen make it difficult sometimes.
So let's just say you're walking down the street and it's late at night and you see a Hispanic man tattooed from head to toe walking down toward you and your family, right?
Right, but I mean, forget the tattoos.
Let's pick up a scenario. Okay, forget the tattoos. Say it's an Hispanic man wearing a hoodie in a neighborhood that's kind of run down. What do you want to do? Are you going to say that people shouldn't be on guard when approaching a stranger? Would you be any less on guard if it was a white man in a hoodie?
I think that you should be honest with it across the board and don't say, oh, well, I don't see color, everything's fine. No, there's still a perception that the Hispanic or the black man would be more dangerous than the white man. And I think most people would think that.
See, if it's a white guy or a Hispanic guy or a black guy in a hoodie in a bad neighborhood at night and I've got my family with me, I don't give a darn who's under the hoodie. I'm always ready for it. I'm ready to go.
And that's why you're you, and that's why you're better. But I'm telling you, if you had hooked people up to a polygraph, the black and Hispanic person would scare that person more. And that kind of thing is a subtle thing that I have to walk around with, that somebody with the same qualifications that's living the same life as me that's white wouldn't have to live with. I think that's real. Now, again, I don't want a handout. I'm not asking for anything. I'm saying acknowledgement's enough for me. Just acknowledgement. That's all I'm asking for.
So that, hey, you know what? So come out and say, look, I'm going to have a bit of like Hillary Clinton did a couple of years ago. I think, didn't Hillary Clinton say something like that?
Something along those lines, yeah.
I think she did. Well, you know what? I'm not going to sit there and tell you that that people's biases don't exist. There are stereotypes out there, largely perpetuated, I think, by liberals, that don't necessarily reflect the reality. But at the same time, they reinforce this idea that's out there. Like, you know, you're walking down the street, you see somebody coming down towards you who is a person of color, whether it be Hispanic or black, and there's that societal cultural reinforcement that clicks in, and you want to cross the other side of the street. It's that you're right, that perception is there. It doesn't make it reality. But I would say if it's the scenario that I outlined, I think everybody's going to be a little cautious in that scenario, regardless of the skin color. It may be to a lesser degree if it's a white guy, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that's not there, but I don't think it's institutionalized, and I don't think it reflects America's racism. I just think that there are some cultural norms that stay with us, as you rightly point out, one generation removed. Got to get rid of those stereotypes. And it doesn't help that we have, in certain communities in this country, people of color offing each other where the violence is rampant, right? That doesn't help.
That's the family, and that is the biggest problem.
There you go.
It would be nice though if Ted Cruz, rather than go to Liberty University, for example, went to Chicago and made a speech and tell some African American people directly why his plan and why he would make people's lives better. And the GOP never does that.
Might not be a bad idea. All right, you want to weigh in on what Ty and I have been talking about, or the Republicans, which I'm going to get to here in a minute. Feel free to call 888-900-3393, 888-900-3393. You found the Salcedo Show on The Blaze. Be right back.
It's not just a show.
It's a movement. Join the swarm.
Twitter hashtag Salcedo Swarm.
Only on The Blaze Radio Network.
You're taking in a little Latin flair with Chris Salcedo on the Blaze Radio Network.
888-900-3393, 888-900-3393. That's the phone number here to the Chris Salcedo Show. Out to the phones, Lisa calling in from Chris Christie State, New Jersey. Hey, welcome to the Chris Salcedo Show, lady.
Thank you so much. I was listening to you and Ty talk about the, you know, racial relationships, and one thing that drives me nuts is that for people to go in, a white politician or whatever, to go in and try and garner votes from the black community, I think that if we just focus on the fact that what our values are, whether we're constitutionalists or conservatives, people automatically flock to you. When you go and want to speak to a certain population, that keeps the division going.
Well, no, I hear what you're saying, and I don't think Ty was suggesting pandering. I don't think you need to show up and tell the Hispanic community or tell the black community what they want to hear. That's what liberals do. That's what Democrats do. But you show up to their neighborhood and say, you know what, here's my conservative principles, and you don't ignore it. See, this is where I think, Lisa, where Romney went wrong. He decided, you know what, the blacks aren't going to vote for me, the Latinos aren't going to vote for me, so why bother talking to them? So what he should have done is said, you know what, I'm going to talk to everybody. Conservatism will work for everybody. And that's what we should be doing.
I know, and that's where I just get so I get frustrated, because when we, you know, talk to them as if we're separate groups, which I know that there are different communities, let me put it that way. But I am so fearful and sick and tired of hearing us and them.
True. You know what?
And I wish we could gather around constitutional principles and realize that's where we're coming from, because that's what makes everybody equal.
Why is there a congressional Hispanic caucus or a congressional black caucus, but you can't have a congressional white? You can't have a congressional white caucus, because that's racist, right?
Well, to me, it is.
Yeah, I agree with you.
A white, you know, a separate white caucus or, you know, anything else. We got to jump on this, you know, the Constitution is what makes us all equal, and I wish we could just focus on that. And then the other thing, we always talk about, you know, if somebody was walking down the street with somebody in a hoodie and you would go to the other side of the street, what about if you were walking down the street and you had this, you know, really handsome white guy walking down in a suit and a really handsome black guy walking down in a suit, would you move?
No.
Right, but nobody would move to either side of the street, because you're just walking by somebody who doesn't look like a threat, whether they're a young kid, white, black, or Hispanic, or, you know.
Lisa, and I agree with you. It's about time, you know, and again, I think when you have conservatives going into other neighborhoods, you take that first step into basically saying, you know what, and you get to deliver that message. Hey, it's not about us and them, you know, blacks and whites. It's one thing. It's about being conservative and returning to the ideals that built America. Back in a minute.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is the Blaze Radio Network.
Prepare yourself to ingest current events, pop culture, and politics with a side of Latin flair.
Vacis,
I don't have to show you any stinking brushes.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
All right, welcome to Hour 3, everybody. We are fighting the left's ideological bigotry with smiles on our faces. It's the Chris Salcedo Show. Broadway studio line is 888-933-93. On Twitter, at Chris Salcedo TX, at C-H-R-I-S-S-A-L-C-E-D-O-T-X. On Facebook, the Chris Salcedo Show. Listening to the program, SoundCloud, iTunes, and Stitcher. Do it there for on-demand listening. Do it live on, we'll do it live. Sorry. TheBlaze.com/radio. SiriusXM, channel 796. The Blaze Radio smartphone app and the iHeart Radio smartphone app. We go to Georgia. Joe is hanging on patiently. Joe, thanks for being here on the Chris Salcedo Show. What's going on, sir?
Well, I've been sitting listening to you, and I've been saying this for quite a while, that we do not have a race problem. We have an education problem.
Couldn't agree more.
You take most people that have an education or that have traveled and had to interact with other cultures, other city states. They know that when they hear something like Black Lives Matter saying kill all white people,
mm-hmm.
most black people that have an education know that's a bunch of nonsense. Any more than if a white supremacist group came out and said kill all black people. I'm smart enough to know that's ridiculous. So I don't think it's as much a race problem as it is an education problem.
I think you're right. You know what? And again, we have to start as on an intellectual basis to confront the also the problem in this country. As we mentioned briefly at the end of last hour, why it's okay to have a congressional black caucus, why it's okay to have a congressional Hispanic caucus, and it's not okay to have a congressional white caucus. Why is it permissible to have to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month, but it's in politic to have a white Heritage Month? You know what I mean? So
yeah,
we need to make up our mind in an educated manner as a country. When do we stop dividing ourselves and stop celebrating the divisions and start celebrating unity? Or we say, look, it's just as permissible culturally and otherwise to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month as it is to celebrate White Heritage Month. This whole idea that and you've heard it before, Joe, that the white American Christian male is the most discriminated person against discriminated person in America. And it's true. And that is what we have devolved into. And I think it's time intellectually we start getting beyond that.
Well, I think it's a matter of the perception is that the white community has been in power for too long and they've had their way for too long. And now this is social justice going amok on the other end, going to the extreme the other way now.
No, I couldn't agree more, man.
And I would also say that as a government and those in power, if black and white ever stood together solidly, they wouldn't get away with half the stuff they do.
Do you know, I share a story with you that was told to me in my, and again, remember, it's liberal professors giving me this education back at San Diego State University. There was an effort, I am told, by the United States government back in the 1970s to pit the black community against the Hispanic community in an effort to keep them from concentrating on the problems with the government. And I can't help but think there's something going on there with what you just said, Joe, that there are so many people in positions of political power that keep us at each other's throat and prevent us from unifying as a people because it works to their political advantage.
Yep, and every community, I don't care if it's black, white, Hispanic, they all have their useful idiots that will fall into that will buy into the divisiveness. And as long as they have that, they stay in power.
Yep.
And
great phone call.
Just the way it is.
Great phone call, Joe. I really
you.
Appreciate it. Hey, thanks for holding on, man. I really appreciate it. I want to get to this before we get to Obama and the utterances he made this week. Establishment Republicans. One of the leaders on the Republican side is a guy named John Cornyn. He's my senator here in my home state of Texas. Here was an analogy that he had given to the Republicans, the conservatives, taking out John Boehner. And when I say taking out, here's what happened, folks. Before the congressional break, before they went on yet one of their many vacations, there was an idea floated that there would be a motion to vacate the chair, meaning to unseat John Boehner. When these leaders went home, whether they supported John Boehner or not, what they heard in their town hall meetings was, look, congressman or congresswoman, it's either John Boehner's job or yours. So they all came back to D.C. and they all told John Boehner, hey, John, I love you, man. And some said, I don't love you, man, but my constituents want you gone, that you don't have the support from my constituents. And that's why John Boehner found himself saying, well, might as well leave. I don't have any more support. Now, with that happening, John Cornyn gave a football analogy. This is, again, Senator from Texas, part of the Republican leadership in the Senate. And here's what he said.
The best analogy is as if everybody on a football team wants to call their own plays. And when they don't like the play the quarterback calls, they decide to sack their quarterback.
Okay, that's one way of looking at it. Here's my analogy. Using football, the way we see the current Republican Party is that we have a team here who's down 28-0 against the Democrats. It's the beginning of the fourth quarter, and the huddle is called, and here is our leader, Mitch McConnell, or our leader, John Boehner, and they're calling on a first down play, a kneel down. And then the second down play, they're calling a kneel down. And then they're on the third down play, they're calling a kneel down. And on the fourth down play, they're calling a punt. That's the Republican Party. That's why we disagree with the play calling, you see, John Cornyn, because the play calling has been so abhorrent. So that's a different perspective for you. And that leads me right into my discussion about Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy, we are told by alleged conservatives, he's the guy. He is the next Speaker of the House. You're just, you folks in conservative la-la land, you're going to have to get used to it, they tell us. This Daniel Webster, who has thrown his hat in the ring, and now we're hearing Jason Chaffetz maybe doing the same. If that could be a game changer, folks, by the way. But before yesterday, it was Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy was the best and the brightest. He was our shining light forward. He's going to really take it to the Democrats, according to the establishment Republicans who have been saying they're going to take it to the Democrats for the better part of 6 years now. And here's what Kevin McCarthy did before he's even voted on this Thursday to be Speaker of the House. Here's what Kevin McCarthy was doing.
What you're going to see is a conservative speaker that takes a conservative Congress that puts a strategy to fight and win. And let me give you one example. Everybody thought Hillary Clinton was unbeatable, right? But we put together a Benghazi special committee, a select committee. What are her numbers today? Her numbers are dropping. Why? Because she's untrustable.
First off, the reason why the Benghazi committee was convened was against Kevin McCarthy's better judgment, against John Boehner's better judgment. They both had to be dragged kicking and screaming to call that select committee on Benghazi. They resisted it for as long as they could, but the avalanche of data made it so they couldn't resist anymore. So let's just be clear about that. Kevin McCarthy opposed the select committee on Benghazi, number one. Number two, it was called because of that, to get to the bottom of what was going on, because Team Obama had lied to us repeatedly to cover their own political butts. That's why it was called. It wasn't called to bring down Hillary Clinton's poll numbers. She hadn't even declared for president at that point. But Kevin McCarthy just undid Trey Gowdy's efforts for the better part of 2 years. As Charles Krauthammer pointed out, Trey Gowdy has been trying to make this above partisanship, trying his level best to make sure that it was just the facts, ma'am. And Kevin McCarthy undid 2 years of work in 30 seconds. This is the best and the brightest the Republicans can give us? You've got to be kidding me. It's the Chris Salcedo Show. We'll deal with Obama and the Oregon shooting coming up next.
Broadcasting with Latin flair. This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
Chris Salcedo Show. Listen, dial, speak. 888-900-3393.
I want to squeeze in one more phone call here before we get to Obama. Telephone number is 888-900-3393. Trinity calling in from South Carolina. I hope you're staying dry wherever you are, Trinity. Thanks for being here on the Salcedo Show.
Well, thank you, Chris, for having me. I appreciate it. Yeah, we're trying to stay dry for now, but I don't know how much longer that's going to last. Storm coming through, but just keep us in your prayers. But
I was just calling
to touch in on what you were talking about, the Republicans, who they're going to put in, take John Boehner's spot. My thing is Daniel Webster, how everybody I've looked at, seems to me the best fit. But I got a feeling the Republicans are just going to put in whoever they want. Even though we're getting rid of John Boehner, they're going to try to put somebody in there that's exactly like John Boehner. So really, you might be losing John Boehner, but then again, you might be dating somebody who's exactly the same way John Boehner is. So I don't know.
And you know what? And they're hoping, you know what? A lot of these Republicans, Trinity, are hoping that you're clueless, that I'm clueless, that we'll say, oh, we got rid of John Boehner, thus everything's going to be fine. We still have Mitch McConnell, who is working against our best interests, who is advancing the Obama agenda. And if we just have to replace one establishment guy who doesn't listen to we the people for another guy who is establishment who doesn't listen to we the people, what have we gained?
Yeah, I mean, you know, so, and the other thing I wanted to touch on, because I know you're running short on time and stuff, is the thing about Obama is his arrogance. A couple of things that really just struck my nerve, I mean, there's a lot of things, but I can't get into all that right now, but one thing is like, they said something about Planned Parenthood, and he comes out and he says, well, if the Republicans want to defund Planned Parenthood, all they got to do is get together and come up with a law or a bill to overturn my ruling. Well, one, he knows that's not going to happen. He knows that. I mean, he could sit there and throw that out there all day. And the other thing is yesterday when he came out to speak to the American people, he comes out there and he wants to talk about this guy that's been with him for 6-7 years in education, talking about how I'm going to miss him, and, you know, I wish him well and everything else. And he comes out there and starts making jokes and everything. And it's like, dude, really? 9 people, Christians, I might add, got killed in Oregon. You have 7 that was wounded. One of them was a military veteran who bum rushed the guy, tried to, and got shot 7 times.
Yep.
Now,
you know what, Trinity, I got to tell you, man, that this is what we've been treated to the entire 6.5-7 years of the Obama occupation of the Oval Office, isn't it? Somebody who's tone deaf, who frankly doesn't give a damn about you or me or what the country's going through. It's his agenda. It's his way or no way. And we saw evidence again, as you rightly point out, on this, again, another tone-deaf press conference by the occupier of the Oval Office. You stay safe out there. Thoughts and prayers with you, Trinity, South Carolina. You know, here's what Obama said the day before.
As I said just a few months ago, and I said a few months before that, and I said each time we see one of these mass shootings, our thoughts and prayers are not enough. It's not enough. It does not capture the heartache and grief and anger that we should feel.
We have heartache. We have grief. And let me tell you, Barack Obama, quite frankly, I'm pissed off at you, at other liberals who have. And again, we have seen this over and over and over again. And what do liberals do? Oh, we need more gun control. We need more gun laws. Lost on the occupier of the Oval Office was the fact that back in May, Oregon just instituted stricter gun laws. How'd that work out? So we keep on trying this same crap over and over and over again. Stricter gun laws, taking guns out of the hands of the law-abiding, leaving them at the mercy of nutcases and criminals. And Barack Obama says, let me be clear, I expect a completely different result. He's a buffoon. He's an idiot in this regard. because that is the definition of insanity, of idiocy, is to can try the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. This campus was a gun-free zone. This campus, the security guard wasn't even armed. Liberal utopia, yes? This is what they want for the entire country, right? It should have been peaceful. Gun-free zone. Only problem is the criminal, or the whack job in this case, didn't follow the law. So what's the solution? In my view, make sure people can defend themselves. It is a God-given right guaranteed to us under the Constitution, is it not? Yes, it is. But Barack Obama doesn't want to let those little facts get in the way.
We don't yet know why this individual did what he did.
Oh, but of course, that never stops Barack Obama from commenting, does it? We don't know what's going on. We don't know the facts, but I'm going to politicize this anyway.
And it's fair to say that anybody who does this has a sickness in their minds, regardless of what they think their motivations may be. But we are not the only country on earth that has people with mental illnesses or want to do harm to other people. We are the only advanced country on earth that sees these kinds of mass shootings every few months.
Really? Check Mexico lately. Drug cartels are beheading, mass shootings, all this kind of stuff all over the place. Yeah, Mexico to the south. You know what? They disarmed their people too, Barack Obama. That's what he wants for all of us, folks. That's what he wants for all of us, is what you see in Mexico. Is it any accident that as Mr. Obama has been this progressive icon leader, enabling and encouraging left-wing governments all over this country to institute more gun restrictions, that we've seen an increase in mass shootings, decrease in every other violent crime? But mass shootings are on the increase because of these gun-free zones. Any accident that we see more violence in liberal-run cities like his home city of Chicago? Detroit, heretofore used to be run by liberals. Washington, D.C. still is run by liberals. And we see this kind of gun violence.
You know, earlier this year, I answered a question in an interview by saying the United States of America is the one advanced nation on earth in which we do not have sufficient common sense gun safety laws.
Gun safety laws, you say? Sufficient gun safety laws. You mean just like the ones they just passed in Oregon, Barack Obama? You mean like those? Right. And for those who are hearing, a lot of liberals are saying, oh, no, concealed carry is allowed in Oregon. It wasn't a gun-free zone. The Brian Williams Network with Brian Williams actually knocked that out of the park yesterday.
And can I ask you about your gun laws, concealed carry, that kind of thing?
I'm only in a position to tell you that it's my understanding that it would not have been legal for a concealed carry to have occurred on a community college campus. There's case law and there's statutory law and there's college laws, so it's a complicated area, but that's my understanding. Not that it's particularly relevant right at the moment.
Right.
Right. Brian Williams trying to politicize it right away. Even before Obama, that was the attorney general of the state saying, no, gun-free zone. Not, couldn't have guns on campus. Gee, wouldn't it have been nice if maybe even the security guard had a gun? Oh, but no, they thought it was not wise. Those liberals up in Oregon. That's not that wise. Ugh, guns, you got to be kidding me. You know, guns make people crazy. And this whole business about gun safety laws. You mean laws that remove firearms from the hands of we the people so we can defend ourselves against the criminals and the whack jobs. Gun safety, my behind. And talk with Larry Pratt coming up next about Mr. Obama's latest attempt to remove guns, utilizing a tragedy. Americans not even cold, dead. And Mr. Obama politicizing the event again.
The Chris Salcedo Show. We'll be right back.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Chris Salcedo.
70 years after the murder of 6 million Jews, Iran's rulers promised to destroy my country, murder my people. And the response from this body, the response from nearly every one of the governments represented here, has been absolutely nothing. Utter silence. Deafening silence.
And then Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu proceeded to hold a steely gaze on the body for about 45 seconds. It was a very powerful moment at the United Nations as we witnessed a prime minister, a leader of his country, standing up for his country's very existence, for his country's principles, for their right to exist. I'm not going to play the whole 45.
Perhaps you can understand why Israel is not joining you in celebrating this deal. If Iran's rulers were working to destroy your countries, perhaps you'd be less enthusiastic about the deal.
Day after that happened, Barack Obama gets in front of our country and says the following.
And of course, what's also routine is that somebody somewhere will comment and say, Obama politicized this issue. Well, this is something we should politicize. It is relevant to our common life together, to the body politic.
The people were not even into the morgue. They were still being processed at the scene in Oregon after the shooting. And Barack Obama is declaring, we should politicize this. If a Republican had said this, the Brian Williams press would have just been howling. But it's resident Obama, so it must be okay. Let me bring on my next guest, Larry Pratt. He's, of course, the executive director of Gun Owners of America. Mr. Pratt, welcome back to the Salcedo Show.
Good to be with you. Thanks so much for having me.
You betcha. In my view, when Barack Obama said that we should be politicizing something like this, he disqualified himself from being a legitimate part of this conversation, and that's just how I feel about it. What about you?
Well, he wasn't demonstrating much, if any, compassion, remorse, sorrow, anything of that sort that would be very appropriate. We're talking about some people that just all of a sudden lost their lives to a madman, to a very evil person. And he doesn't even say anything to the families who are having to endure something terrible. Your child goes off to college and comes back in a box. How horrible is that?
Yeah, no kidding. And then, again, the what stood out for me was the admission that Barack Obama's going for the guns. He's admitting to us right there, I'm going to politicize this. I think it should be politicized instead of, and again, when you politicize something, you're not looking for a solution. You're looking for right. benefit for your side of the political aisle, which is what Barack Obama just admitted to. I'm going to take the deaths of these people and make it political advantageous for Democrats and for extremist liberals across this country, rather than working across the aisle with individuals and trying to find solutions. And I have quite a few, but Mr.
And
like
of
I
course,
said,
he'd like to overlook the fact that the dirtbag himself, which I think would be the proper name I would like to give him, rather than use his parents' given name, the dirtbag. Was clearly on an anti-Christian, I would use the word jihad, but I don't know that that would fit his lack of religious orientation. But you get my drift. This guy was literally gunning for Christians. If somebody identified themselves as a Christian after he asked them, what's your religion? And if they said Christian, or if they said yes to, are you Christian? Boom.
Yeah.
And the fact that six others would follow suit with the same answer tells me that things aren't as bad in Oregon as I thought. This is a state that is supposed to have more atheists than any other state in the country, fewer churches than any state in the country per capita, and yet seven students at a community college were willing to answer yes to a question that very quickly they realized was going to cost them their lives? Wow.
Well, and then the fact that Barack Obama wouldn't comment on it. Now, because Barack Obama doesn't stand up for Christians when they're targeted at home or around the globe. He only stands up for Muslims.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. Here he is looking at this. The guns are still smoking, if you will. Mm-hmm. This is clearly a hate crime, something that the left has said is worse than the crimes themselves. Of course, I've never quite understood when somebody commits murder and they want to have an additional charge that it's a hate crime. Mm-hmm. Hello? You mean there are murders committed by people who love each other? I don't really think that makes much sense. But, you know, that's the world that our president lives in, and that's the world he was trying to draw us into after this tragedy occurred. And I don't think we should have anything to do with it. And I hope that he has painted himself into a corner on this. We'll see.
Well, no, because being a liberal means you never have to apologize. So Barack Obama will just go on and have his press conference, as he did yesterday, praising Arne Duncan and joking around. And
I
as he has
corrected.
Done,
you're quite correct.
Yeah, you know, and as he has done throughout his entire occupation of the Oval Office, I mean, when Christians are beheaded or burned alive, or Barack Obama has not felt compelled to say anything about it. Why would it be any different when Christians are gunned down? Again, you said it was a hate crime, Larry Pratt, from Gun Owners of America, but it's also by definition an act of terrorism, is it not?
Well, absolutely. Out of the blue. In comes this killing machine. That's pretty terrorizing, I would say. And let's take now that we're inevitably talking about the politics of it, thank you, Mr. Obama, let's look at a common denominator in all but two of the mass murders in our country since 1950. Gun-free zones.
Exactly.
Maybe we ought to conclude that there's something inherently dangerous about gun-free zones, and yet the president wasn't drawing that conclusion. He wasn't pointing to the hatred of Christians. He just wanted to double down on getting our guns.
Yeah.
See, that's really talk about missing the mark.
Well, yeah, like a poor marksman, he keeps on missing the target. Larry, I want to play a soundbite for you. Barack Obama calls his advocacy, he calls it gun safety laws. He wants gun safety laws, just like the ones, might I point out, that were passed this last May inside of Oregon, whose proponents said it was going to save lives. I'm forced to wonder how that's all working out. But here's Barack Obama's statement yesterday.
And what's become routine, of course, is the response of those who oppose any kind of common sense gun legislation. Right now, I can imagine the press release is being cranked out. We need more guns, they'll argue. Fewer gun safety laws. Does anybody really believe that? There are scores of responsible gun owners in this country. They know that's not true. We know because of the polling that says the majority of Americans understand we should be changing these laws, including the majority of responsible, law-abiding gun owners.
Changing the laws, I would say, yeah, we need to change them to make sure that more people have access to weapons so they can defend themselves.
Absolutely. And when he says scores of responsible gun owners would, in effect, agree with him, I think I can actually agree with that, because a score literally is 20. So scores would be 60, 80, maybe even 100. That's about the number of gun owners, responsible gun owners, that would agree with what the president is saying. But the rest of us have a different message, Mr. President. We understand that you didn't go in there and tell your Secret Service, wait outside, I'm on my own when I'm in here, I'm going to be talking about gun control. No, the hypocrite went in there with all kinds of the most magnificent modern shooting machines available, a Secret Service that is, in spite of all their recent foibles, still the world's best. And there he's lecturing us on how we need less access to our firearms. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. One last thing I want you to get your comment on. Barack Obama gave the Brian Williams Press a homework assignment. And told them to look up, well, he wanted to compare a couple of stats which were, in my mind, complete non sequiturs. But have a listen to his analysis, and I wanted to get you to respond.
I would ask news organizations, because I won't put these facts forward, have news organizations tally up the number of Americans who've been killed through terrorist attacks over the last decade and the number of Americans who've been killed by gun violence, and post those side by side on your news reports. This won't be information coming from me. It will be coming from you.
What do you think, Larry?
Well, once again, he's trying to distract from the real story of gun control. If he would look at history, which I'm not sure he studied much of, but if he were to look at the history of the last century, he would find that gun control was one of the major elements for dictatorial control of mass murdering, genocidal regimes. Lenin and Stalin practiced gun control. Hitler and his flunkies in the countries he controlled practiced gun control. And the result was tens of millions of people being eliminated. So, Mr. President, you can take your accounts and you can just do whatever you want with them, but we're not buying. Sorry. The facts are in. Your policies have contributed, have facilitated genocide, and we're not having anything of it here.
See, and that's a great point. I just made that observation that in the 6.5, 7 years under Barack Obama, where he has inspired these left-wing governments to come up with more gun control, more gun control, more gun control. And oddly enough, we've seen a spike in mass shootings. Huh. Now, granted, violent crime as gun sales have gone through the roof, violent crime, as a general rule, according to the FBI, has fallen across the country. But there has been a spike in mass shootings where there have been these gun-free zones that you pointed out here a moment ago, Larry, and the fact that maybe it's Barack Obama's policies contributing to all these mass shootings, and he won't look in the mirror. He never does.
Well, and certainly the media, I think, has to take some credit or blame for this, because it is they who insist on publishing the name of these dirtbags. They ought to take a lesson from the sheriff of that county, Douglas County, there in Oregon, who from the get-go said, "I refuse to use his name."
Beautiful.
That is the way it should be done. Don't publish his picture. Don't use his name. Just say, I mean, if you want to use nice words, you can say the Southwest Oregon shooter, or you can use my terminology, which is the Oregon dirtbag. But whatever, do not use his name. That's
I
what
like dirtbag. I'm going with dirtbag. Larry Pratt, everybody. He's executive director of Gun Owners of America. Always appreciate our visit, sir. I got to scoot. I'll talk to you again, okay?
Great to be with you. Thanks so much.
You betcha. More to come on the other side of the break on the Salcedo Show. Stick with me, folks.
Telling the truth. It's one of those jobs American liberals won't do. That's why we need the liberty-loving Latino, Chris Salcedo.
The Blaze Radio Network. The Chris Salcedo Show.
Weren't there guidelines from the White House to all cabinet secretaries?
Well, yes, there were.
To use government
absolutely.
Email.
Absolutely. We feel, obviously, we want to make sure that we preserve all government records, and so there was guidance given that government business should be done on government emails, and that if you did use a private email, that it should be turned over. That's what she's doing.
Valerie Jarrett talking with Andrea Mitchell. Saying, you know, Hillary's been out there.
Everybody knew inside of the Obama administration about my private server and my private email. Everybody knew. And
here's Valerie Jarrett saying, well, you know, no, not so much. We all pretty much insisted that you do all your government work on government computers just to, you know, maintain the records and all that. And Hillary Clinton trying to obfuscate and, of course, tell us that, oh, no, it was completely allowed that I did all of my government work on an unsecured server and an unsecured email, a completely an utter lie. And now she's being thrown under the bus by the consigliere of Barack Obama, Valerie Jarrett. By the way, Iranian-born, non-vetted, by security officials, Valerie Jarrett. Hey, Slater Crusaders, stick around. Mike Slater's coming up here in mere moments, joining me now briefly to give me a rundown of what's coming up and give you a rundown of what's coming up on the Mike Slater Show.
Senor Salcedo, don't you think that Barack Obama is just waiting to throw Hillary Clinton under the bus so that Joe Biden can run? That's what my gut tells me. Don't you think that makes sense?
He did so yesterday. Did you hear that soundbite when he said, you know, there's a difference between running for president and being president on Syria?
No, I didn't. Yeah. So you think that was directed at Hillary?
Oh, it was. Yeah, they were saying, hey, Hillary disagrees with you on Syria. He says, well, there's a difference between running for president and being president.
Yeah, that's just the beginning. So they're just waiting. Gosh, we got a lot coming up. Of course, we're going to talk about the shooting in Oregon. Want to talk about one of, you know, Michael Crichton? Michael Crichton, one of the most impressive people in the last century, and people have no idea how impressive he really is. I want to talk about him and a speech he gave 13 years ago against global warming, and we'll break down that ridiculous Bill Nye video about abortion as well.
Very nice. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Mike Slater coming up, everybody, on this very same Blaze Radio Network. Make sure you stick around, and remember, a society's worth is not measured by how much power is seized by its out-of-control government, but rather how much power is reserved for we the people. That's going to do it for the Salcedo Show. Catch you back here next weekend on the Blaze Radio Network. Have a good one, folks.
This is the Chris Salcedo Show on the Blaze Radio Network.